This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. We're glad that you decided to join us here in this time and place. All the particular references that you have given yourself in the purpose for being here, we hope and trust that you'll be willing to lay aside for just a moment here in time. For in this moment, in time, if you can accept the fundamental premise of my offering to you, is the time and place where the entirety of the dilemma of your location in this place of sickness and loneliness and death was resolved. All around the world now, through the auspices of the Saviorship of Jesus Christ and his incredible workbook of A Course in Miracles, the text of his declaration of your perfection is resounding with the very basic realization that the decision to be the manner in which I am observing you at this time and place was yours to make. the reports concerning the healings that have been going on, among them arthritis, remember? Now thousands of people around the world are reporting a relief in the laying down of the burden of the necessity to suffer from this condition. Yes. Yeah. Now, that was a review of an energy flow that brings a response to your idea of arthritis. Do you see that? Parkinson's disease, remember? Was it just yesterday or 100 years ago that we offered you the certainty that the time and place that you are in, you can recover from the dilemma of the displacement that has heretofore afforded you no relief for the manner in which you are constructed within the fearful idea of your self-identity? So the healing videos, here they are. The moment of correspondence that offered you that relief, okay, from necessity to suffer from anything, are the purpose for this attraction. So if for any reason you believe that there is a reason other than the totality of your recovery from the sleep of death that you heretofore used to represent yourself are a belief for why you're here, I would ask that you just for a moment tolerate the totality of a realization of a methodology, the momentary study of a method that continues to offer you a relief in the decision-making capacity. There's no question that the power and light that is being provided to you at this moment will change your mind about your alternatives within time, decision-making faculties, in a moment's realization that you are actually whole and perfect as you were created. The light, this light of healing, first will give you perhaps a great deal of peace, because you'll understand at this time and place that the entirety of the solution is available to you, not contained within the decision-making factors of your own mind, but in a sudden revelation of the light and love that's shining all around you. Is it a miracle? Yes. Yeah, so you begin to see that light, don't you? You might want to say to me, I think this is a miracle. We like to look at the manner sometimes in which the miracle came about in our minds, and there's really no secret about the manner in which most of us came to know, okay, that the problem contained within ourselves in regard to the unmanageability that we were experiencing could not be solved out in this world. The basis of the teaching of Jesus Christ are as that you will never be successful in solving the problem of the decision that you have made to remain in separation and your necessity to call on a power, whatever it may be, greater than yourself, to solve it are the nature in which many of us came to know that. Sometimes when we begin to talk about recovery, we have a tendency to believe that if we take this holy scripture, this scripture from the Savior of Jesus Christ, who represents the Christian tradition in the manner in which together we can fight this battle and seek a solution, as he declares in the doctrine of his declaration that you can overcome the world, is a manner in which it was accomplished in many of us. Certainly in my case, that was not true. Okay? My solution was not to thump the Bible. I'll try it if you want me to. Here is the living Son of God giving you answers to all the problems that you could ever have. And I used to listen to that. And I'd say, which part of it gives me the answer? Which part of it is going to remind me that the solution lies in me, not out in the world? Which part of the scripture am I going to accept that indicate that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is in fact my Savior? Certainly in the progress that I have made in regard to this idea of salvation based on the surrendering of my will has led me to the certainty that the scripture of Jesus are to draw my direct attention. First of all, that I can't solve the problem that I feel in the pain and death of my human association, and that he will be a provision, a spiritual provision within my heart and mind, wherein the problem can be solved. The solution that I am representing to you is one of my determination as an addict to the need to sedate myself from the unsolvable problems of this world that I was experiencing led me to a point in my mind where I saw there was no solution. I asked for help from whatever power might be. There's always a certain curiosity about teaching to, and I'm sure you're aware that we're speaking of the recovery of the 12-step program. We're speaking of the certainty that it's possible for you at a moment of totality of despondency to turn your will and your life over to the care of God. The dilemma that you encounter and the idea of turning your will over to a power always involves the need for you to identify what the power is. We end up offering some sort of resolution to the problem by telling you you're turning your life over to a power greater than yourself. Now, the attention that you don't turn your will and your life over to God are simply indications that the conceptual mind believes there's different gods or different kinds of gods, and you fully intend to turn your will and your life over to a God that you can understand within the particulars of the irresolution you express and the pain that you identify as unsolvable. The simple truth of the matter is this entire offering to you is to turn your will and your life over to the inevitable conclusion of yourself in relationship with the addiction from which you previously suffered in your determination to somehow adjust to the incredible ideas of loneliness and pain that constitute this world. Speaking to you directly at this time and place, I speak from the certainty of a spiritual experience that occurred at a point in my life where the problems of this world could not be solved. Now, the particulars in which I came to that realization and then went out and began to present it to the world, all right, are not really the manner in which it came about in me. The particulars of the demonstration, all right, of all of, say, erratic behavior that occurred within my addictive nature were not what the solution was. We're using the light and life of Jesus of Nazareth, and we were together this morning talking about the particulars of a revolution that occurs in many of us somewhere in time, where we begin to act out determinations to free ourselves from the world. All right, we can no longer tolerate the idea, and I'm speaking to a lot of you out there now, all right. Certainly it may include sedation or the necessity to alter our consciousness sufficiently so we can find some relief from everything that's going on here. If you wanted to compare it to Jesus of Nazareth, it would certainly help if you can to take the image that the world represents as being whoever you think Jesus of Nazareth is, and understand with me that virtually all of the acts of my Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, could only represent his initial encounter with a rebellion from this world. His determination, perhaps when he went out into the desert where his parole officer couldn't find him and decided that he had to find the solution within his own heart. The renegade nature of the saviorship of the mind of Jesus, watch the objection that comes to this. It should be very obvious to you if you'd look at it with me. All of the particulars as a young man, as a growing man, anywhere in his inability to find a relief from what the establishment told him that he had to accept, certainly gave every indication that he spent some of his first years in a form of rowdyism. Biblically, this is very obvious because when he's first recognized out in the world, he is described as a winebibber. And they say, how can this guy coming out of Nazareth, and we knew him very well, we also knew the gang that he used to hang out with. There is always an idea that somehow Jesus, the lost years of Jesus, that he spent them gaining knowledge in India, where he climbed a peak and questioned a great Mahama about what he was. What total nonsense that is. All of the particulars, he's with us here now, represent his determination to find the solution and his inability to do it. Okay. We were supposed to have a little quiet time here. We started out beginning to teach the necessity that there's a quiet time and place that you can come to where the resolution has been solved, not in the rowdiness of our determination to find it, certainly in the joy that we felt in our initial encounters, not to participate in this world, but to formulate a new gang, a new ideas where we were going to revolutionize the temple. That's been true with most of us. And we discovered finally that while the nature of our determination to seek another reality could be fully justified in our decision that there was no solution here, the actual spiritual occurrence of what happened at the time when we suddenly looked at each other and saw that, hey, this problem cannot be solved. The conversion of the political nature of Jesus in his discovery of the kingdom of God in the experience that he underwent is virtually identical to the experience that you are undergoing. So the nature of his revolutionary process, which could be justified in the world, okay, and give him a certain authority or power based on the spoils he was able to gain from the authority, be it in banditry, be it in theft, deserted him as he felt more and more the futility of the revolutionary nature of conceptual mind. it always turned back in on itself. That's amply demonstrated in Scripture when the choice is given to the crowd, who should they crucify? Should they crucify this innocent guy standing here who is telling everybody he's the Savior of the world and the Christ and he's using God's power? Or should they release Barabbas, who is representing a revolutionary movement in the world that gives them the attraction of their capacity to recognize him? There's no question who the crowd is going to choose. Barabbas was well known as stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. Jesus was well known as only giving to the poor by his determination that being poor in spirit gave the entirety of the resolution, so the choice would be obvious. Those of you who choose, you understand this with me, the mind of Jesus is the mind of Barabbas. In fact, the translation is son of the Father. The question is not that. The question is, what Father are you the son of? Barabbas is obviously the son of the Father of the particulars of the determination to represent yourself in this world. Jesus is obviously the son of our Father in the discovery through the illumination of his mind of the entirety of the solution. So let's start out with the fundamental premise. And I've heard all sorts of descriptions of Jesus. Somehow he's a tight-lipped aesthetic and who walks around in a tight definition of the scripture and demands that you relinquish all ideas of joy and happiness. Not my Savior. Do you see that? The other sign of a Savior is he is in rigid conformance with the Old Testament and offers verification of his Saviorship within the stricture of the temple. Nonsense. All he really is demonstrating to you at this time is freedom of your own mind, including responsibility for your action. And here's your dilemma in accepting his teaching. Okay. An insightful recognition of the nature that the acts that you perform out in the world, you will be responsible for, including your revolutionary nature. That's the simple truth of the matter. So the joy that I'm offering you now is the same freedom of overcoming the addiction that Jesus experienced in the desert. When he's confronted by the evil associations, the devil says, I don't want that. Even though I can get the reward of exchange, it's not what I want. I'm going to take the passion in my expression of independence, in my discovery that my independence left me exactly where I was, and I ended up in a conformity with the world. We have most of what I'm telling you, I began with the idea of the 12-step program, the idea of the revolution in the discovery that the problem could not be solved. All around the world, we have those who experienced in the 60s and the 70s the determination to be independent in the nature of their need to gather as an alternative to the structure have come a long way in the discovery that the solution was actually in their own minds. And they're gathering with us now in this time and place to declare it. So this first half hour has only got a few minutes left, and what I wanted you to see with me that if I intend to teach you that the solution is within you, I'm going to have to allow you to look at an inventory. Are you ready for this? An inventory of correspondence of what you have done within the entirety of your association. While it's a form of reformation, even unto the recognition of a spiritual awakening, the world is still going to examine you as some sort of perpetrator of acts of variations of the law And though while you can pay the penalty for it, the world will continue to condemn you and examine you in the nature of their recognition that your recovery occurred only within their concepts, without the admission that that's not true. Okay? There's one sentence where this is confirmed in the Gospel of Matthew. It'll just take me a minute to read it to you before the break, and then we'll talk about it. Listen. He said, "Therefore, every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and things old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this his mother called Mary and his brother Jim and Joe and Simon and Judas? He has a lot of brothers and sisters. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all of these things? And they were offended in him." And Jesus' simple response was, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." Listen, "and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Most of you are having that experience now, aren't you? You're undergoing revolutionary realizations of the Spirit in the conversion of what formerly was the nature of your need of addiction. Let's use that. And your recovery was entirely spiritual. And you're walking around in the world now in that recover, carrying an inventory of this world that is very determined not to admit, not to forgive in its entirety the new discovery that has become a part of you. This is occurring all around the world. What I want you to see with me, that Jesus, our Savior, Savior of this world, is standing with us in a camaraderie, in a correspondence of friendship to help us through the hurdle of expressing a spiritual recovery. Can you see that with me? There's no question that you had an insurmountable problem, many addicts, and that your recovery was miraculous. And there's no way that you could have discovered the new happiness and peace that you have found except through the grace of the Holy Spirit, through the grace of turning your will over to God. So that's the problems, and we're offering the solutions, and we'll talk a little bit more about it in this next half hour. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we think. Okay? Let's say it together in this recovery idea. We are perfect as we were created. God bless us, everyone. This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. We're glad you stuck with us here. I know there's perhaps going to be a lot of objection to my description of Jesus. That's okay. He said that if I would serve him, if I would discipline myself to the nature of his recovery, I could discover on my own, this is the addiction program, that through turning my will and my life over to God, which was the entirety of His direction, that I could discover this spiritual recovery and that would make me very happy. And he admonished me further that in that discovery of God, I would go out and render service of the recovery that I had made. This is the entirety of the offering that I'm giving to you, the form of repentance in the discovery of a spiritual alternative, and my need to express it are the basis of the teaching of Jesus Christ. Okay. Removing from Him initial human motivations, okay, condemning Him to some sort of idol of perfection that came to represent you are not the nature of my acceptance of Him or of what He says to me. He says very simply that I will represent your recovery from the addiction to death, from the addiction of remaining and finding solace in the representations of momentary relief from pain until you die. The recovery from the addiction to temporal mind requires the discipline or the necessity to perform continuing acts, first of mind, then on the world, that the alternative is available to you. This is the miracle of the 12-step program. There were some requests. We have a very large network of what we call recovered 12-steppers out in the world that are using the practices both of the program and of the Course in Miracles to express their new discovery. Certainly recovering from the single problem of the addiction in the recognition of a spiritual awakening can give you, if you continue to pursue it, a realization that the entirety of any problem in this world is within you, and that the solution is turning your will over to God. That brings about an illuminate experience of the solution. So, and I'm speaking from very deep experience, obviously I have a lot of stories to tell in regard to this, including my recovery. And I have told them over a period of a considerable number of years, and I probably will continue to tell them. There's always going to be those who begin to view me as a spiritual healer that are going to inquire, did this come about in you in some sort of doctrine that you learned? And the answer is simply no. The manner in which I learned this was my inability to deal with the world. And that had nothing to do with how successful I was able to do it. Simply with a fundamental admission within myself that was something wrong with this world and the manner in which I viewed it. Yes, it is a spiritual recovery and we are enjoying it together, and we do gather and will gather to share the solution. This is about a 3-minute talk on anonymity. What we just expressed to you in the Bible Association is a good indication of what you're facing as recovering from your need to be a human being. All right, your determination to express that the power of God has descended on you, and in the miracle, you no longer feel the need to represent yourself in fear and attempt to overcome it. Now, the anonymity of it, and this is from Jesus, is inevitable. Very particularly because the expression of it can only actually be shared by those who have had the experience, as objectionable as that may have previously been to you. It's highly true. So we come together with simple realizations and admissions. We couldn't solve the problem, there was a power greater than ourselves that could, if we would ask him to, not on our own dependency. Now, we discover it, we continue to operate in the world a bit much more successfully, although perhaps not observably so, because we found the peace of God within us. We continue to carry that message out into the world. We have a book, we have a, in case you haven't seen this, there is available to you on the net, or if you'd like to send us to it, a little booklet entitled The 12-Step Program and A Course in Miracles. Right? It's the manner and method by which we have recovered from the addiction, okay, of self-will. The idea that thy will be done rather than mine. Is it anonymous? Yes, it is. Yes, it is anonymous. And if we open it up, and I'll read from this, I hope you'll send for it. We're using it particularly in our present ministries because it offers solutions to the young addicts, the revolutionaries who saw very early on that there wasn't any solution here. All of the acts of violence, many of them that you're seeing around the world now, are acts of war or acts of vengeance, because there doesn't appear to be an enemy that we can vent our rage on, so we begin to vent our rage on each other. And we end up in a confinement because of acts against society. We want to take these booklets to the young addicts, and we call them addicts if 80% of them are confined in prisons because of drug-related offenses, so that we can show them that they can change their mind about what they are, not as society defines them, but in a new discovery of themselves. Okay, that can mature behind the walls and is maturing it, and we're demonstrating it. And we can do it because it's true. Most of them initially have said, the world says this and does this. Therefore, I won't do what the world tells me to do. This is the incredible dilemma of do what I say, not what I do. And that's where the initial rebellion occurs. So now we've turned that back in on ourselves, and we want to show them that the problem-solving mechanisms employed by the world will no longer satisfy them, that they're going to have to look within themselves for a solution that will be available to them and will broaden their purpose for being here. Not that the rebellion against society does not continue, but it becomes a nature of a rebellion that offers an innovating alternative to the condition that was only going to result in death. Can you see this? So the decision-making mechanism that we offer in the Course in Miracles and in the 12-Step Program is one that you can make if your dependence is on God rather than yourself. Yes. It begins, as you looked at me right there, with sort of some fundamental things like, I'd like to have that be so. I want to have that be so. I wish that that were so. I wish that spiritual healing were so. I can will that it is so, using the will of God. I can take the power of my mind and express that certainty in what just occurred now in the miracle of the healing procedure. Is this any different than we would share having overcome the addiction, where outside of society for a moment we continue to express to each other the joy that we feel in the resolution? This is the manner in which my illumination came about. As I progressed in my determination to serve based on the discovery that I had made, my necessity to offer that solution became very intense. It's a story that most of you have heard. I was very determined that this was a treasure that I could only keep by giving it away. So I began to give it away. Right? I discovered that in the giving of the message of the miracle of my overcoming of the addiction, okay, the joy in giving became more and more intense until, as many of us have done, we take on aspects of only giving in order to keep the joy. This is momentarily perhaps a little disruptive in the world. But soon you discover that except in service, you're not happy. Except in giving to the world, you don't find contentment or relief from the pain and tension that will build in you if you are not able to continue to express the innovating discovery of your new mind. Let's read just a couple of paragraphs from this little book, The 12-Step Program in A Course in Miracles. I think you'll find it valuable. Listen. First page, A Course in Miracles and the 12-Step Program. Wherein the necessary process of awakening from your self-orchestrated dream of pain and death will be stimulated and accelerated. These are programs of recovery from an insanely rational, self-perpetuating, objectively temporal existence of terminal confinement that is being misconstrued as some form of the true reality that is eternal life. I wonder who wrote that. So what? It's a good connection, but it's a recovery from the insanity that you know is this world's condition. A little bit about anonymity here I want to read you. Why? Those watching this video are beginning to have experiences of relief from pain. They're being healed. Okay, they have light shining on them. There are spontaneous remissions going, and as soon as they go out in the world and declare it, they are at the very minimum asked to prove it, give us efforts or that, or their attack based on their old references and the determination not to accept the new man that is emerging. So what do we do? We end up carrying this message, let's use Jesus, of his resurrection about with us, okay, holding it secretly within our heart. And there's a lot of scriptures about this. Because the moment we present it to the world, we are objectified as some sort of group that found the solution within the world. And that's not the way it worked, is it? Listen. So this is about the importance of anonymity in spiritual awakening. Most teachers of God in an accelerated spiritual program of mind and body enlightenment will discover in their own intense encounters with the newly emerging reality of Christ mind a highly directive responsibility for personal anonymity. The more deeply rooted this portico of spiritual rebirth is aligned with creative entirety, the more persistent this guardianship will be. There's a lot of nice directions in the teachings of Jesus Christ in his New Testament and in his Course in Miracles, where he says when the Christ begins to emerge in you, when that discovery comes to you, protect it for a moment. Let it be true and let it emerge. One of his parables says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Hold on to that discovery and let it grow on its own through practice. Okay? We used to teach this, go to meetings. Go to where other ones are studying this course. Are beginning to teach it, are representing momentary solutions that they found even though they couldn't be described out in the world, all right? So that the peace and love, the pearl worth any price, can be in your heart and mind, can it? Let's read a little more. And issuant union with God is sacredly unspeakable and must be protected against the judgmental intrusion of your own corrupt, self-constructed identity. Jesus speaks of this repeatedly in New Testament Gospel and in His Course in Miracles as the necessity to guard your own Christ child and to nurture its growth through the creative substance of continuing holy instances. What a lovely idea that your moment of recovery is going on at this instant, and you can nurture yourself on the joy and happiness that we're feeling right now. Could you recognize that moment of healing? Huh? That was a miracle. Huh? What did you say to me just a minute ago? I certainly would like it to be true. I want it to be true. I wish it were true. I think I'll declare it is true. I think I'll declare that in the universe there's a power, an authority of love through forgiveness that can show me what I've been searching for out in the world, that I can discover and maintain a momentary relief from all of the pain and loneliness and death that many of us have held within my own mind, rather than letting the world know the desperation that I actually was feeling. This is rather a personal video to you, and it's particularly attractive to those who have been sedating yourself in anything, certainly in alcohol and drugs, simply because you couldn't stand this place. I don't know how you could stand it. One of the inquiries that Jesus makes throughout this Course in Miracles in the New Testament is, how can you stand this slaughterhouse? All right. You never possessed the normalcy of the human condition. There was always something different about you. And the difference caused more pain rather than less, because it was a fundamental requirement from your mind of, what's the reason for this? What's the purpose in it? The rebellion that's going on with the young ones now has been simply the inability of their elders, including the original revolutionaries, to find any real purpose for them being here. So emerging now in the transformation of the mind can be a whole new decision that affords immediately an alternative not contained within the reference. And for that moment, it will be secret, because the expression of it in concepts reduces it to a concept. Let go and let God. He will if I let Him. Utilize, don't analyze. These are all lovely expressions that I have shared for a very long time with those who make initially perhaps the discovery through discipline. Okay, listening to their elders, listening to those that said to them, this is a spiritual experience. Stay with it. Practice each day. This is the workbook. And practice each day recognition of the solution of that holy instant that's available. Let's complete this. The early founders of the AA program recognized with profound spiritual insight the importance of the term anonymous. Certainly, in the confidence of mutually confessed worldly unmanageability, but also in the recognition that a personal revelatory experience of the healing power of God may only be expressed through carrying a visionary message of gratitude and freedom to those still imprisoned in the inescapable cycle of drug dependency. In this sense, everyone who discovers the reality of the true love of creation is anonymous to this world. So it is rather anonymous, isn't it? Shall we look at it together just for a moment, and I'll show you the joy that I experience in being able to teach this to you. The certainty that I am expressing concerning the solution that I found in myself, I am offering to you with the certainty that at this time and place we can share it. It's a meeting of our minds, not in the idea of solving a problem in the world where we can share the idea of separation, but meeting together in the certainty that we have solved the problem. This is the entire message of Jesus. We have solved this problem. Let's have just one more quiet time today now in the recognition of it, because I want you to be able to take this message with you out into the world. Listen. Father, I was created in your mind, a holy thought that never left its home. I am forever your effect, and you forever and forever are my cause. As you created me, I have remained. Where you established me, I still abide. And all your attributes abide in me, because it is your will to have a son so like his cause that cause and its effects are undistinguishable. Let me know that I am an effect of God, and so I have the power to create like you. And as it is in heaven, so on earth. Your plan I follow here, and at the end, I know that you will gather your effects into the tranquil heaven of your love, where earth will vanish and all separate thoughts unite in glory as the Son of God. Let us today behold earth disappear, at first transformed and then forgiven, fade entirely into God's holy will. So that's a prayer, isn't it? Expressing the end of this interlude. But it's a prayer of the possibility of a direct contact, a spiritual solution that is so well described in the 12-step program, isn't it? It sounds very much like the 11th and the 12th step. Perhaps we'll talk more about it later. But our necessity to maintain a conscious contact with God, all right, asking only for to know his will for us and the power to carry it out are what we are being offered. And that power now has become, through this prayer of surrender, a part of what we are. We begin to recognize each other, don't we, in the spiritual solutions that we have found. It makes us very happy to continue to perhaps have the anonymity of it, all right? But to recognize that we have found in our sharing a solution that's given us a new direction in this space and in this time. You're a miracle. I'm a miracle. I know I am, and I know that you know that you are. We are recovering from a terminal disease. We have been born again in that realization. So we can say together what? That God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we think. Let's say it together. God bless us, everyone.